Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. This episode features a special teaching from one of our monthly encounter nights. The focus of these nights is to experience the presence of God, discover the ways of His Spirit, and worship Jesus extravagantly.
You know, one of the things as we've been preparing to bring the three nights of healing, you know, the Lord really wants Awake to be a place that people come and that they get healed. And He is raising us into this atmosphere where I believe that there will be a day soon when people walk through the door and they get healed just because of the presence over this house, just because of the glory of God over this house. And so tonight, I get the privilege of starting our encounter night speaking on healing, part one. Let's just pray. Holy Spirit, Father, Jesus, thank you that you are here tonight, that you're with us. God, I just ask you that you would use my words, that you would use the scriptures that you've highlighted, the things that you want to say, Lord, to touch our hearts and to raise faith in this place, and that even tonight, we would see healing, we would see miracles, we would see things happen that we haven't seen yet. So God, we just give you this space, and we say we love you. Amen. So in starting, I just want to share a few things. One of the things that just was so simple, but I said to the Lord, what do you want me to tell them? And the first thing he said to me was, I want you to tell them that I love them and that I want to heal them. He loves you and he wants to heal you. It is always God's will to heal. And I think there's been a space kind of in the world, is how I'm going to say that, where there's been a question at times in people's hearts. And it's almost like thinking, well, does he really want to heal me? Maybe because we've contended for something for a while and we haven't seen it yet. And it's easy sometimes to fall into that place where we're not sure. But in the scriptures, Jesus never denied anyone that came to him for healing. He never said, oh, it's not your time yet. Right? He never said, oh, that's not what the Father is doing right now. That's not his will. Right? There's never a place where we ever see. Now, everybody in the world didn't get healed, but everyone that came to Jesus and everyone that Jesus was sent to by the Father was healed when he prayed for them. So I just want to say, it's always God's will to heal. Little tiny side note, sometimes when someone's older or there's something, a different circumstance, there are places where the Lord may speak to us that it's time for someone to go and be with him. And that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about healing in general. It's God's will to heal. Another thing is that sickness is not from God. Right. Sometimes I really believe that in the world we hear things like, well, there's acts of God. Like if a disaster happens, a lot of people want to say that it was God that was bringing this upon us. Right. But God does not punish us by putting sin and disease on us. That's not his way. That's not scriptural. And these are just things that I think are foundational things that we have to get into our head. We have to get rid of the thinking that would bring us into any place that we could allow ourselves to agree with something that's not true about God. He's not trying to teach us something by allowing us to be sick. So where does sin come from? I mean, we go all the way back to the fall, right? But sin causes a door to be open for sickness. So sickness comes from the fall of man. It comes from sin. It comes from the enemy, right? It does not come from God. Another thing, just as we get started, one last thing here is that we cannot base what we believe about God and about healing on past experience, on an experience where maybe we prayed and someone didn't get healed, and maybe they're with Jesus now, or that we've watched someone else who's been through a difficult experience. We can't base, right, our trust in God and our belief in healing on an experience that didn't turn out the way that we thought it would. And we can't base our belief on healing on unanswered prayer, right? So those are just very, to me, things that in my life, I contend for those things, right? I'm not willing to allow myself to align with something that is not God, right? We can trust God. We can trust his character. And what we put our trust in, too, is his word, right? We can always go to the word and we can find the promises of God that we can grab hold of, right? And that we can decree, that we can stand in. So I just wanted to, I felt like the Lord just wanted some of those things just kind of off the plate, right, for us here, because those things are not the way we believe. So I'm going to read some scriptures tonight, and most of these are related to faith. And faith is another thing that there's a lot of tension over, I really believe. You know, it's like Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. Romans 12 says, God has given each of us a measure of faith. Right? In other places in Scripture, it says that there's a gift of faith. Right? And Jesus also, in a lot of the stories, we hear him say, go, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has healed you. Your faith has made you well. We also hear Jesus in the Scripture say to the disciples, oh, ye of little faith. Right? So faith becomes this place, I believe, of tension. And for me, this is not defining faith by going to a scripture and saying, this is what faith is. This is what I have come to believe in my heart, is a big piece of having faith. It is that when we abandon the experiences and the fears and the negativity and these things that we're talking about that are not true, and we get hold of what God is doing, and we see God is wanting to do this, right? And then we step with that faith into action, and we partner with God, and we sink with him, and we see him do something, right, that we're believing for with him, because that's what the Father's doing. But it's abandoning those places, right, where we're allowing fear to come in, or we're allowing something to steal that place with us. So I believe that our faith grows as we see things. And I do believe that faith is important, but I want us to start out with a scripture that is in Mark 9:17. And if you guys have your Bibles or your phones and you want to turn with me, you can do that. And I'm going to start reading chapter 9 of Mark, verse 17. And one of the crowd answered him, teacher, I brought you my son, possessed with a spirit which makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it slams him to the ground, and he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and stiffens out. And I told your disciples to cast it out, but they could not do it. And he answered them and said, O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me. And they brought the boy to him. And when he saw him, he immediately the spirit threw him into a convulsion, and falling to the ground, he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. And he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. It has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the boy's father cried out and said, I do believe. Help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that a crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him and do not enter him again. So this is a man that didn't come to Jesus with great faith, right? He came to Jesus really saying, but if you can do anything, because his experience with the disciples had taken him into a place where he wasn't sure what he believed. And I believe tonight the Lord is wanting to break those places out of us where there's anything in us, right, that is saying, God, if you can, God, if you will, God, if it's your will, right? I believe that he's wanting us to believe that all things are possible. And so this man said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. It's okay to be in that place, right? If we've been contending for something and we've not seen it happen over and over again, it's okay to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know how to come to you in faith for this again. But God, I believe, help my unbelief. And he meets us there. So there's a couple of things, too, about this story that I want to talk about. One is that a lot of times I've had people ask me, well, the disciples didn't cast out the demon, but then Jesus did. So, I mean, he was God, and they were the disciples. I don't believe that. Because Jesus came fully man to model for us the humanity, right? So I want to take you to a scripture for that. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Right, so why would he say God anointed Jesus of Nazareth? I believe that it was emphasizing the humanity, right? That Jesus was a man. He was born, he was from Nazareth, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus did miracles as a man, fully human, just like we are, yielded to God, and anointed by the Holy Spirit and power. And that's us, right? And we're called to do the things that Jesus did and greater things. So we have to be able to believe that he came and modeled as a man what we would do as men and women, right? So there's that piece. Then I think, and I didn't read this yet, but verse 29 of that same chapter says, and he said to them, this kind cannot come out by anything but prayer. Now, some versions, this is NASB, some versions say prayer and fasting. I believe this was just the lifestyle of Jesus. The disciples watched him. He stole away often, right? And he spent time with the Father. He prayed always. He was always doing what the Father did and only what the Father did. And so Jesus modeled this lifestyle for the disciples and everyone that got to see him of prayer and fasting. He would go sometimes, they would go to get food, for instance, and he would say, I have food you know not of. Right? So he was not maybe eating in that moment, but he was feasting on what the Father was having him do. And so I feel like this story has a lot of different things that we could talk about, but I feel like lifestyle and intimacy with God is a key to being able to step out and see healing, especially in difficult situations. But it's an everyday thing. It's this relationship with God that we cultivate. It's that praying always. It's that knowing what the Father's doing because we're learning to discern that. We're learning to follow him. So let's go to another story. Luke 8, starting in verse 43, says, "And a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped. And Jesus said, 'Who is the one that touched me?' And while they were all denying it, Peter said, 'Master, the people are crowding and pressing in on you.' And Jesus said, 'Someone did touch me, for I am aware that power has gone out of me.' And when the woman saw that she had not escaped notice, she came trembling and fell down before him and declared in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace.'" When I was looking at this story again, one of the things that just really touched my heart was this was a lady that in that culture was unclean, right? So even for her to go out in public and to be in that crowd, and especially for her to touch Jesus, would have been unthinkable. We're talking about a woman that I believe had gone everywhere, done everything she could, spent her money, right? She'd been to doctors. There's no telling what she had done. And it was she hadn't been healed yet, right? But in this story, it's that she one more time was willing to believe. She stepped into a place of faith that if I can just touch the hem of his garment, then I can be healed. And she took a risk by going out into this crowd, by touching Jesus, right? And Jesus commended her faith. How many of us have things, you know, that have been a long time, maybe in our lives, that we've been contending for? We can't quit, right? We can't stop. As I was thinking today, how many times do we think that she was probably depressed? That she probably laid somewhere and cried thinking, "I'm never going to be able to be with other people. I'm isolated. I'm abandoned. I'm not able to be in community." Right? But she was willing to one more time step into that place of faith. And by doing that, she received her healing. And I just think that's a significant story to me. It just really touches my heart. How she just went after it. She didn't quit. And we're going to go through four different stories real quick here. So next story we're going to look at is in Matthew 8, starting in verse 5. "And when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him imploring him and saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented.' And Jesus said to him, 'I will come and heal him.' But the centurion said, 'Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does it. Now, when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, 'Truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel.'" And as we know, the Lord sent his word, right? And there was healing. We don't have to be present. That's one thing, right? We don't have to be present. We can pray for someone that's in our family that's distant, right? And we can release the healing word of God over them and see them healed. That's one part, I believe, of this story. Jesus' authority, I believe, came from his identity. And this man recognized Jesus knew who he was. I believe he felt the authority and the power that Jesus walked in, and it was like he knew how he probably had this way that he had to stand up as a a soldier, right, in command, in charge, and he understood, like we hear in other scriptures, that Jesus had this commanding way, this authority that they hadn't seen in anyone else. And this man recognized it. And when he did, he said, no, you don't need to come with me. Just send your word, and I know that what you say, you will do. It will come to pass, and my servant will be healed. So I was skipping over a piece of this, and the Lord's like, nope, don't skip over that. So the story goes on where Jesus says, I say to you that many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into the outer darkness. In that place there will be gnashing, weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, go, it will be done for you as you have believed. And his servant was healed that very moment. When I was looking at these verses today, I was asking the Lord, because we can look at other references, but I said, Lord, what is your heart in this space? In that moment, why did Jesus respond this way? And I believe that what I got was like this glimpse into Jesus' heart. That he wanted them so badly to get who he was, who the Father was, that they were going to do the same things that he was doing. And there was this place of faith that I believe he was wanting them to get. And I believe in that moment, this is one of the places where Jesus' heart was like, there are going to be people that get this, and there are going to be people that don't. Please, like, learn who you are in the Lord. Come and really engage with me in this place. Like, learn from this. Now, that's just me. That's not a translation. That's not something that I read. Today, I felt the Lord's heart saying, I want my people to know who they are. I want them to know who I am and what I've called them to do. That the same things I did and greater, they will do. And I really desire to see this kind of faith. I just believe it was part of God's heart in that moment. So the last story I want to share real quick is in Acts. And actually, it goes out of Jesus and into a place where we're going to talk about Peter for a minute. So in Acts 3, verses 1 through 10. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg for alms of those who were entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, look at us. And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk. And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his arms were strengthened. And with a leap, he stood upright and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Now, this is Peter, right? So if we go back to the beginning, I read the scripture where it said that Jesus was, let me go back to it, my notes. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed. Well, now we see Peter, right? He's filled with the Spirit, right? In Acts 2. So now we're in Acts chapter 3. And Peter is doing what he saw, what was modeled. He's doing what the Lord had commissioned them to do. And Peter, to me, is a great example because of all that he went through in his walk with Jesus, denying Christ, being restored, all the things that he had been through. Right? But Peter is such a great model. He has the Holy Spirit to show him what the Father's doing. And he is another example, I believe, of just how we can get to walk in to this place with the Lord. I believe Peter had intimacy, and we know that if we read more about him as we go through the scripture, Peter's shadow would heal people, right? He would be walking along and people would get into his shadow and be healed. I believe that there was an identity and an intimacy that he had with God that created this atmosphere around him that I believe the Lord is creating in all of us that corporately begins to grow. And just where I started, I believe that this atmosphere, even over a week, will be the kind of atmosphere where people are healed just because they're here and in the presence. That's just such a vision, I believe. I know that's part of Matt's heart, is that we would be such a place and we would see healing, that we are contending. There are people that are here that we love, that we're contending for, that have been waiting for God to heal them, have been contending, have been pushing through. So what are some things that we can do in our own lives and in the lives of others to really put this in place? So we can meditate on the word, right? Knowing the scriptures, meditating on the word. That word meditate in this space is like the word mutter. It is to continually be speaking the word of God, right? As we go, always praying. Thankfulness is another thing. Neuroscience has now proven the healing effects of thankfulness, right? And we can begin with thanksgiving, and we can press into God, thanking him for what he has done, remembering what he did, and step into that place. We can guard what we hear. Faith comes by hearing, but so does fear. So if there's something going on in our life and there's a question, a lot of times if we allow social media and ads and all of these things to come in, the enemy will put right in front of us the exact disease that we're fearing because of the symptom, right? So we have to choose what we listen to. So faith comes by hearing, and we need to stay in the word and not allow hearing something negative to bring that fear in. So we're never going to quit. We're always going to continue to pray in faith, right? We're going to agree and align with God and with what he's promised. And I believe that we're going to begin to see great things happen here. So I want to end with this. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5 says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed." Now that word griefs in the beginning of this in the Hebrew means anxiety, disease, sickness. It's not just the word grief. This is about sickness as well. And the word sorrows here is grief and pain. I believe that's physical pain, mental pain, both. And so if we think about what Jesus did the sozo work, the full work. The spirit, soul, and body saved, healed, and delivered. And his finished work, that word sozo, by the way, is used in Matthew 1:21 when it says, "And she, Mary, will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." That word "save" is the word "sozo." And it means that he will save us. He will keep us safe and sound. He will rescue us from danger or destruction. He will heal us, preserve us. He will make us whole. So if we go back to what Jesus did, part of what we're called to do is to get Jesus his reward. Did you know every time that we step out and we do what Jesus modeled and we pray for someone and they're healed, the kingdom of God is at hand. Right? We have given Jesus a piece of what he died for. When a person gets saved, that's what he died for. Healing. Everything was done on the cross. Not just salvation. It is our bread, right? Healing is the children's bread. So tonight, I want us to just think about, is there any place where we've allowed fear to come in? Is there any place where we've been afraid to really just step up again to pray for healing for something that maybe we haven't seen for a while? Is there someone who maybe lives somewhere else that's a loved one and we've been praying for them and we've been thinking, because of the distance, can I really, you know, this is what I do. I will stretch my hand out as if I have my hand on their head in the spirit, because there's no distance in the spirit, right? And I will pray for them just like they're right here in front of me and I've got my hand on their head. So we have, as we move back towards some more worship tonight, we have the prayer teams that are here, and they're going to be stationed over where they normally are on Sundays. And I want you guys just to take a moment and think about this and take a step of faith to take action and go tell someone on the prayer team, if you want to have healing tonight, what you're contending for, what you're asking for. You know, we've talked about a woman with an issue of blood that contended for years. And it was always that it hadn't happened yet. Right? But that one time that she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, she was healed. And then standing in the gap for people that maybe live far away. Maybe there's someone on your heart that you just want to stand in the gap for. Maybe you personally have something going on in your life and you've just been in a hard place and you've gotten to that place where you're like, "Lord, I really want to believe for healing and I want to step out and be healed. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." So if there's anything that you want to be prayed for tonight for healing, this is an opportunity. As we worship, as we praise, for you to step out and to have people that will agree with you and stand with you and contend with you. And we're going to continue to go after healing in this house until we see everyone healed. Amen. We are going to continue to contend for healing in this house until the atmosphere is so full of healing that no sickness and no disease can be in this place. Guys, we can have that. That is the Lord's heart that he gave me today. We can have that. So let's go after him tonight. Let's believe him for whatever it is that we need in our life. And let's take that step. God, we thank you for what you're going to do tonight. We believe, God, that you are going to heal and that we are going to see miracles in this house tonight. And it's going to continue and it's going to grow. And so we just say thank you, Jesus. Jesus.